Even Hollywood would have trouble topping this Back to the Land story. A reclusive beekeeper living in remote northern Maine hooks up with a college-educated part-time waitress. They create a $32 million natural personal care products company, plow the profits into land conservation, and carve out a national park in the Maine woods. From Maine Public Radio, Susan Chisholm profiles the company known as Burt's Bees.
It's a busy Saturday afternoon at the Covered Bridge Restaurant in Guilford, Maine, and Roxanne Quimby is reminiscing about the start of her career over a toasted cheese sandwich. Quimby never planned on running her own company. Instead, her search for the American dream began in a rundown Volkswagen. She was newly married, just out of college, with a degree in fine arts and a desire to live close to the land.
I searched around across the country in the back of my Volkswagen van and finally found myself here in Piscataquis County where I could afford to buy land.
Quimby and her husband bought 30 acres in Guilford, where rolling hills and house for sale signs dominate the rural landscape. 30 years ago, before most of the area factories closed, residents were able to earn a modest living making shirts and toothpicks and weaving cloth. Quimby, however, failed the hand-eye coordination test required for stitchers. Her Volkswagen van died, and she was forced to take a part-time job at the Covered Bridge Restaurant.
And proceeded to live a very simple lifestyle. I built a little cabin. I farmed a few vegetables. I sewed all the clothing. We lived on very, very limited resources.
Within a few years, Quimby was the divorced mother of two. She was living without running water and electricity, hitchhiking rides into town, when her back-to-the-land lifestyle took an unexpected turn. It happened one day when she accepted a ride in a rickety pickup truck from Burt, the bee man.
He's kind of bizarre with his long, curly, flowing hair and very independent kind of a fellow. Thinks for himself.
Quimby pestered Burt Shavitz to teach her the beekeeping business, and Shavitz says it was his bad back that convinced him to take her on.
Beekeepers, particularly small beekeepers, traditionally work alone, and there's a lot of repetitive heavy lifting.
I didn't have that, oh, bees, ah, kind of reaction. It's like, oh, bees, interesting.
Quimby and Shavitz started out small, making beeswax candles and soaps, and filling quart jars of golden Maine-made honey. They hit craft fairs and roadside stands. But as they expanded their product line, they realized they needed help. In the early 1980s, with Guilford's unemployment rate well into the double digits, it wasn't hard to find 40 people, mostly women, willing to work for slightly more than the minimum wage.
We had one high school boy, and he was our accountant. He was on the math team, so he was qualified to run the accounting department. He was 14.
And made deposits and wanted to wear a white shirt and tie to work every day.
The company expanded quickly in the early days, moving from a one-room schoolhouse to a couple of dilapidated trailers to a vacant bowling alley that lacked air conditioning, running water, and a working bathroom.
These folks, they used to go pee in the snow.
By 1994, though, the company was having more than plumbing trouble. Guilford is a long way from major markets. Transportation costs were high, and Quimby got frustrated with Maine's business climate. So when North Carolina came courting, she and Shavitz accepted. Burt's Bees personal care products still carry pictures of wild-haired Burt, the buccaneer of buzz. But these days, lip balm, hand salve, and deodorants are turned out at a high-tech factory in Raleigh, North Carolina. Burt has pretty much retired to the woods of Maine. Quimby says the company has come a long way from its modest beginning in the bowling alley.
Our biggest competitor is probably Procter & Gamble, but they won't be for long. How's that for you?
Since 1994, the company has doubled its sales every 2 years. Burt's Bees products are now sold in 5,000 stores around the country. And its success has allowed Quimby to pursue what she says is her number one priority.
If you could circle us around Pinio a few times, and then if we could land and just get out.
From a rented plane, Quimby looks out at land she's bought on Moosehead Lake. She hopes her purchases will someday be part of a much larger Maine Woods National Park. Recently, she raised the ire of some local residents when she purchased a 77-acre parcel on Mount Kineo, the lake's most famous landmark and tourist destination.
It's almost like we staked our claim here.
And it's precisely that claim that's made Quimby a lightning rod in letters to local newspapers. She's the first person to announce her support of the park and follow through with an actual purchase, despite intense opposition from neighboring communities.
They do not want it, have no interest in it, and will not accept it.
Eugene Conlog is the town manager of Millinocket, one of more than three dozen towns that has passed a resolution against the park's creation. The fear is that it will limit certain types of recreation and close off the woods to timber harvesting, the traditional backbone of the northern Maine economy.
It's an ethical argument of trying to change the lifestyle and the social and cultural base of an area to fit somebody else's idea of what should be compared to what already is.
Quimby says she's not discouraged by such comments. The way she sees it, the woods are providing fewer and fewer jobs. Paper companies are selling off their land, leaving it vulnerable to development. Quimby thinks a park is the best hope for protecting the area and its economy. And Burt's Bees, she says, is in the perfect position to offer a little bit of help.
Burt's Bees makes personal care products with natural ingredients. Taking the profits of Burt's Bees and investing it back into Mother Nature, to me, that completely closed the circle.
But just like her goal of overtaking Procter & Gamble, creating a Maine Woods National Park is still a long way off. It's expected to cost a little less than $1 billion to purchase all the land that's needed. Even park supporters acknowledge it may be an uphill battle. And Roxanne Quimby's gritty perseverance makes her perfectly comfortable, leading the way. For NPR News, I'm Susan Chisholm in Portland, Maine.